Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
You believe he's in this house, why don't you lift your voice to him again? If you believe he's here to do miracles, lift your voice to him again. He said, where my people are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. And if he's in the midst, then healing is here, miracles are here, salvation is here. What a presence is in this building. Brother Nealon, you could have just kept on preaching. There was something on you. I saw a prophetic coat drop from the heavens on you. Oh, that's too fairy tale for me. Folks, we're in the end time, and we need every resource we can get our hands on from the heavenlies. We need every gift in operation. We need every office in operation to have an apostolic revival that God's promised his church in this end time hour. We haven't seen nothing yet. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Matthew 8, 28. And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Luke chapter 8, I'm going to read 22, same account. Luke 8, 22, it came to pass on a certain day that he went to a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let's go into the other side of the lake. They launched forth, skip down to verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Matthew said there was two. Luke said, but only a certain one, only a certain man got what he needed. I want to preach to you tonight, divine appointment. Divine appointment. Matthew, he said two, but he also made another note that Luke didn't, before the time. God has a plan. The plan starts, but the plan's got to come to fulfillment. Jesus and Satan's words were not the rapture and Calvary. It was the fulfillment of a plan that was spoken many years ago. There's a divine appointment God has for this church. And you're coming to the fulfillment of the plan, what God spoke a long time ago. Lift your hands one more time and let's just thank him for his word. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I take authority over every distraction and anything that would oppose your word tonight. Let our minds be clear. Let a spirit of revelation be with us here tonight to understand your word in a clarity and an understanding that would empower us and equip us in this end time hour. I ask you in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. There is a certain timing that God has for everything. We hear that often, but many times we designate that just to our specific location or maybe what I am going through. But Matthew says that there was two men possessed with devils. And he said that it was so bad that no man could come that way. There was a roadblock. They needed a breakthrough. That area needed a breakthrough. Man could not go in. Man could not salvage the ruins and the rubble that were there in the area of the Gadarenes. The Bible is very clear when he begins to lay it out. It says they got in a ship and they started towards the other side. The disciples were the church in its infantile beginning. They were the trusted ones that Jesus put in a boat and let them get in a storm. I don't believe that storm was Jesus or God's work in the storm. The Bible says the enemy's the prince and the power of the air. And it also says that in the very beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. And he said there was light and darkness, and it separated the first day. And God said it's good. But on the second day, he said, I'm going to separate the firmament. And he's going to make the heavenlies separate from the earthly. But he never said it was good. Because I believe that it was there in that moment before creation was done. There was a moment that when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, he took up his abode there in the heavenlies. He took his abode up in the firmament. That's why the enemy is known as the prince and the power of the air. So now the disciples are in their boat and they're heading to the other side, not understanding that there's an appointment that God's got on the other side. See, this is where the enemy tries to distract you and I. Storms come that we never expected, like you talked about. Troubles come that you and I have never seen before in our existence. Battles and struggles that we've never seen before. And distractions one after another. But somebody needs to understand there's an old score that God's got to settle in this area. De Quincey wasn't hatched in a corner, but there were things spoken prophetically years ago for this area. And God's come to fulfill it at whatever the cost. That means he'll bring in whoever he's got to bring in. He'll save whoever he's got to save. He'll take the prostitute, the drug addict, the alcoholic, the broken home on their third divorce. And he'll raise them up and use them in his kingdom. Because he's got a score to settle. They didn't have a clue what was going on. They're in the boat. They think it's just a storm. Bible says it was a fierce storm. When you understand the translation of it, it was a Category 5 hurricane that came up out of nowhere. We've got the luxury of watching the hurricanes come. They didn't have no meteorologist. They didn't have no Rob Robin. For any of y'all who know who that is, the oldest Methuselah. They didn't have no Rob Robin telling them a hurricane's coming. Out of nowhere, a storm came. Why? Because the enemy knew if Jesus ever gets to that other side, he's going to settle something on that other side that goes way back. You say, what you talking about, preacher? Let me explain it to you. Genesis 49, it said, Gad, the prophecy was, in the end, you're going to overcome. That's before you get to Numbers and before you get to Joshua, where the land starts being divvied up. And the tribe of Gad, when they come to get their land, they said, I don't want to go all the way to Jerusalem. It's too cumbersome to go that far and worship. Three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Three times a year, every male, 20 and above, had to get himself together and make a trek to Jerusalem to go worship where God said his name was. Don't ever let worship become inconvenient. Let worship always be from the heart that says, God, you can't ever inconvenience me enough. Worship is sacrifice. Worship ain't bodily posture. Worship is me saying, God, I'll put my life in it all. I'll give you everything I got. I'll give you my best praise. I'll give you my best shout. I'll give you my best lap. I'll give you my best, because worship is never inconvenient in my relationship with you. It's a matter of perspective. And they said, no, we're not going. It's too far of a journey. It's too much work. And then furthermore, they said, we'll take the land on the outer perimeters. Their territory was the furthest from Jerusalem out of all 12 tribes. They were borderline believers. They were those on the fringes that say, sometimes I'm in and sometimes I'm out. Sometimes I'm with you, Pastor. Sometimes I'm not kind of sure. You start talking about all that prophetic stuff, you kind of get me a little bit nervous. I'm not quite sure. God's calling this church to come from the borders to the inner place where God's glory dwells. He's trying to take you to an inner chamber where no one else has ever been. He's going to do it one way or the other in North America. It can be you. It can be Lake Charles. It can be Houston, Texas. God's just looking for a certain man on a certain day that'll say, I'll go whatever distance you want me to go, because there's a divine appointment that God's got to fulfill, and he'll do it with anybody. He'll do it with anybody. He's just wanting to know, will you be the certain one on a certain day? It's just another Sunday service. Just another crazy evangelist. Just another me. We're doing something new for the church. Just another thing we got planned. Another activity. But see, I don't ever want to lose the expectation that today could be the day that those back doors swing open and the backslidden sons and daughters that you've been waiting for. I was preaching somewhere between here, east, west, north, and south. I was in that pulpit. It was 7:23. I told them, man, they were sitting about like you were right now, kind of just waiting on seeing what's going to happen. I said, don't you be shocked that within the next 10 minutes, a backslidden child is going to walk in that back door. Well, they kind of just gave me a little clap, and that was about it. And in about 8 minutes flat, that back door swung open and that backslidden daughter walked down to this aisle, and God filled her and her kids with the Holy Ghost. Folks, we're in the end time. We can't have just church programs. We need an apostolic demonstration of God's glory. God's got this thing on a time clock, and there's old strongholds in De Quincy that's got to be broken. That's why God ain't looking for a normal youth group. He's looking for a youth group that's willing to take dominion. You got kids you're running with every day at school. They're bound by no telling what, being abused, molested, beaten, domestic violence, drug addiction in their home, broken homes, don't know who their daddy is, don't know who their mommy is, and God's put you right in their life. Not because you're just some happenstance kid, because your mom and daddy's here. If you're under the sound of my voice, then God's got purpose for you. God's got purpose for you. God's got purpose for you. You just got to believe enough that God cares enough about me. Good kid. You know that? Stand up, Mom. Stand up. He's going to pray for you. And here's what's about to happen. When his hand touched you, I prayed for you the other night, something began to change. But it didn't get to the end. When he touches his hand on your forehead, his faith, not my faith, is going to change something in you that's been there for a long, long time. God's going to give you a miracle tonight that you've been asking him for. Father, right now, put your hand on her forehead. By the authority of the name. See, God's looking for young people that ain't afraid. He's already talking in tongues. God's wanting to use young people. He's wanting to use young couples. He's wanting to use people. Here's the thing. See, here's what we're worried about. Well, it's got to be Brother Nealon. Well, it's got to be Brother Benoit. No, it don't. It can be him with his tie clip. Is that Star Wars? Oh, my Lord. You need to remind yourself you didn't come into this world perfect. And we're looking at everything that we ain't got. And God's saying, you know what? I'm just looking at the heart in that boy. And I'll take that young boy that's got a heart that wants to just be used for God. And he'll lay hands on the sick. Cancer could leave this building tonight with one young person laying hands on you right now. Just sit right there close. I might use you again. Well, it's got to be just right. No, it said a certain man. There was two coming out of that tomb. Two means witness. That means that God's always going to have a witness. There'll be two. He going to believe it, you ain't. Think about the rapture. Two will be in the field. What? Two will be in the bed. That means mama ain't going or daddy ain't going. One of them ain't going to make it. Witness of two. What he's saying is, I start out with two. I give the opportunity that I have a witness, that everybody got a fair shake at that. Every church is going to have a fair shake at it. The question is, will you be the one that God uses in the end time, that he can express his glory by filling people with the... People want to get the Holy Ghost in your parking lot, but you've got to raise your faith to the level and believe that God can do it before they ever come in the building. Dad said, I don't want to go. That's too far. I'll hang out on the sidelines, borderline. And then here's the kicker on the whole thing. They said, I tell you what, Joshua 22, I think it was. They said, I tell you what, we'll make you a deal. Don't make us go. Let us just make an altar of witness that we can tell the stories without having to go into the land. They said, let us make an altar that we don't have to make no sacrifices on it. We can just look at it and say, hey, Johnny, back in the good old days, this is what happened. I ain't never heard of an altar with no fire, and I ain't never heard of an altar without a sacrifice. They wanted an altar of witness, and because they chose not to sacrifice and go into Jerusalem, now flip forward to Gadarenes. We've got a stronghold because somebody said, I don't want to worship. Because somebody said, I don't want to go. And I'd rather just tell the stories. Folks, there ain't nobody under other than maybe me and Brother Neil. I love hearing stories. We told some today. I love hearing the stories about how old Brother Marvin Cole sitting at a piano, and he got to playing the piano, and out of nowhere, if I understand it right, he just transposed out of one place to another. Oh, that's just something you find in Walt Disney. Folks, that's apostolic. God's ready to raise up men and women that can walk in the Spirit, that know how to consecrate, that know how to dedicate and sacrifice. I thank God for the story. But God's looking for another certain man or certain young man that could have an experience in God in a church service, that when you wake up, everything's totally different. Paul said, I was caught up in a third heaven. I ain't been caught up in no third heaven. But I've been caught up in some places in prayer that I ain't never been before, and that are to a point for me, I don't even want to talk about them. So if God did that for me, God will do that for you. The question is, do we want to go and break a stronghold that's been here for a long time? Folks, we got strongholds all over the area. The Gadarene was a stronghold. No man could come that way, and they needed a breakthrough. But the prophecy said a long time ago in Genesis said, there's going to be an overcoming in the end. They didn't even realize, and the disciples couldn't see it. Their end was upon them. They couldn't see it because they were caught up in the storm, and the enemy knew that if Jesus got to that other side, that old Genesis 49 prophecy, the word Gadarene means reward in the end. And what God was trying to show his disciples, but they could not see the moment. All they could see was the storm that was raging so tall and so high, and the waves that were coming over the boat. They couldn't see that if Jesus made it to the other side. You think they didn't know Genesis 49 that said they were going to overcome in the end, that Gad had a miracle in the end? What prophecies were spoken a long time ago? What things were spoken before you ever even got here that are still in a bottle waiting to be poured out on this assembly? And all along we've been in a storm, and we've been fighting against the storm. We've been fighting against things we never even understood what we're fighting against. We've been shadow boxing against things that we didn't even understand. I'm here to declare to you tonight, there's a divine appointment that God started for De Quincey a long time ago, and your appointment day has come nigh at hand, and Jesus is about to get off the boat and step on the shore. Is there anybody that can run and worship him with that old-fashioned apostolic dedication?
See, Gad knew worship cost, and they weren't willing to pay it. And because they didn't want to pay it, a stronghold's established. But now notice when Jesus gets to the Gadarene, two comes out, Matthew says, but only one made it to Jesus. Matthew also says, the enemy said, for why have you come to torment me before the time? The time was not rapture. The time was not Calvary. The time was the plan of God coming to fulfillment that started in Genesis 49 when he said there we'll overcome in the end. The day of overcoming and breaking the stronghold was right in front of him. And to Quincy, God is telling you here tonight so clearly in the spirit. I've had an appointment for a long time. You've done things, you've tried things, you've done everything else. You've prayed and you've fasted. And I'm not saying negating anything that's been done. But the day has come. Just as if I'm going to a doctor. When my appointment day comes, March the 15th at 1 o'clock, there ain't nothing going to stop me from getting to the appointment outside of death. I'm going to make the appointment. And when I walk in the doctor's office, he's going to say, now here you are. The time has been fulfilled. I'm telling somebody here today, your appointment day is now. You've been waiting for ministry to kick off. It's a brand new ministry. Are about to awaken in this congregation. Brand new anointings are about to awaken in this congregation. You cannot do it by yourself. And God's going to raise up men and women that are going to walk beside you. They're going to cover you. They're going to protect you. Because man will not stop it. That camera, y'all got cameras and all that fancy stuff. I don't like that. Man will not stop what God's promised. You've paid too much of a price. The story has not been told of what you paid. They think you just some Johnny come lately. Ain't so. Ain't so. Certain man. There's only one man that could break that stronghold, Brother Neela. I believe God's putting together men that he can trust with the apostolic doctrine and the message that was committed to us from the elders. Yes, sir. Why? Now ain't the time for us to just throw it all to the wind and say, well, it don't matter. That's borderline believing. He said, why have you come before the time? See, because the enemy did not know the time. He just knew he was coming. And he thought he had a little bit more time to hold the gathering. He thinks he's got a little bit more time to hold this city, to hold our state, to hold our nation. I was somewhere a couple weeks back. See, we don't understand the full power of the angelic host that's ready to visit us. We think that when we come together and just sing and enjoy the great music, great, thank you, Jesus. But there's more to it than when that anointing begins to move. The angels, Job said, sang together, Rana, Hebrew word. When they sang together, it was like a perfect, harmonious choir that created the atmosphere for God's glory to come and rest. He's looking for that in assemblies again. But if worship is inconvenient and worship is not costing me something, we can stay in the Gadarene bondage. A couple weekends ago, I got to preach along the lines of timing. And God's ready to equip us and bring us to this place and fulfill what he said. And I stepped to that pulpit at 7 o'clock on the dot. And I said, tonight, we're going to pray that God would send Michael the archangel into this building. 7 o'clock, I said, Jesus, send my... We were in the throes of a battle. Spiritual, like I felt today at about 4 o'clock. I'm sitting in my office. I get a little visitor. Y'all, I don't know if y'all know anything about that. He showed up knocking, saying it ain't going to happen in De Quincy, and you're wasting your time. That's what the enemy's saying about you. It ain't going to happen, he says. It ain't not going to happen. What you going to do? I wish there'd be more. Folks, we need revival in every city in North America. Timamu, we need revival. We need it in the far back roads of the bayou, all the way to the cities of Lake Charles, to Houston, Texas, to Shreveport, to Bossier City, to Morgan City. If this thing started in Houston and Louisiana, then why in the world can't it end in Louisiana? So we were in a battle, kind of like I feel, kind of starting to ramp up a little bit. And I said, God, we need Michael. People all started worshiping, praising the Lord. Power of God moved. People started getting breakthroughs. We didn't see nothing. Next day, I get a phone call. I don't know, 9, 10 o'clock that morning. I said, how'd church go last night? I said, good. Common response, good. I said, strange thing happened to me. Strange thing happened to me last night. He said, I was praying for you. He said, and this don't happen. He said, matter of fact, I don't even remember it happening. He said, I saw you in a pulpit. He said, and I saw an angel standing by you in the pulpit. He said, and I just called it an angel. And he said, the Lord corrected me and said, that is not an angel. That is Michael the archangel standing by him. I said, out of curiosity, what time did that happen? He said, 7 o'clock. Now, if God would show up for another congregation and send Michael to war to give you a break, why wouldn't God send Michael to show up in De Quincy and give a breakthrough to some old prophecies that the enemy has held in hostage? God's ready to break some people out of prison. He's ready to break some people out of drug addiction. He's ready to break De Quincy out of it. Question is, are we the certain man that's willing to cry out like she did? Are we the certain young person that's willing to cry out? The enemy's doing everything he can to stop that boat from getting to the other side. Because he knows if you take that step, Brother Nealon, if you move into that arena of apostolic anointing, so he's going to throw at you everything he can to try to cause this cloudiness. That old spirit of witchcraft that's kind of just been hanging around here, it's about time for it to go. You know what witchcraft is? Manipulation. Anybody that manipulates you with their own, they can manipulate you in any way. They can try to be sweet and charming. Young ladies, listen. That can be witchcraft. Or they can be the opposite. They can threaten your life to manipulate. See, old strongholds that have established itself in this area, God's saying, I've got an appointment with them. And the day has come. It's time for him to go.
Time for him to go.
How long you been here?
8 years.
Oh. Completion. David was the eighth. Circumcision was the eighth. You know what the eighth number means in Jewish history? Or numerology in Judaism? It means supernatural. Y'all better watch out. I'm going to preach another hour. Supernatural. Y'all think we're going to have revival just being just a normal, traditionary, normal? God's trying to move us into an apostolic dimension that you lay hands on the sick. But you got to realize I got to have an altar that I sacrifice myself and I lay myself down and say, God, whatever you want, if you say, God, not my will but thine, God's glory will visit and fire will consume this city. Appointed time has come. Breakthrough that nobody else could give you. Programs couldn't give you. Evangelists can't give you. You can't give yourself. But when God said, I put this on the clock, He's got an appointment with something that needs to be broken in your family. And you're the certain lady He's going to use to break it. He chose you for this hour to break it. Nobody else will understand it, even be against you. But if you just hold to what you know, God will stand on that shore as you worship Him, and strongholds will be broken. See, he was living amongst the tomb. He was living amongst the dead, Brother Nealon. We've been living amongst dead things that won't ever change. When God's saying, I'm trying to give you something brand new. We're not changing doctrine. We're not changing separation. That's the same. What we're changing is my way of understanding. God can do it any way he wants to do it. And I'm not in charge of anything. I trust him. I trust him with everything that I have. And I'm not going to look back now. But I'll be the certain one on a certain day to break out of the... How in the world did that Gadarene come out of there? He made up in his mind. I'm tired of staying in the tomb. I'm tired of staying with dead. I'm tired of staying in areas that ain't never changing. I need a transformation that's forever going to change me and change my church. To those, God's going to pour out of his spirit. Musicians come. So, I feel the gift of faith just move like a wind in this building. And he's ready. He's ready. It'll break tonight if you just worship him. I'd go into more detail, but just trust me when I tell you. I see that dark cloud that's just hovering over you, sucking the life out of you. It'll change tonight if you'll just worship him. That's all you got to do. Say, God, I'm tired of staying here. See, when it's a divine appointment, you ain't got to turn the crank. Musicians ain't got to sing a fancy song. We ain't got to preach a fancy message. We just understand by faith. When God shows up, my whole world's about to change. Depression got to go. Hopelessness got to go. Spirit of suicide's got to go. What y'all want to do? I'm just kind of just waiting on some of you. Because I'm telling you, there's an anointing that I could point you out. Why are you waiting on me to call you out? God's ready to move you to a greater place. Can you step out of the tomb and say, God, whatever you want to do, I trust my man of God. I trust the moving of the Spirit. I trust the anointing of God that it'll break the yoke. Is there anybody that believes it's a divine appointment and nothing can stop the appointment? It's here. It's here. It's here. I feel the angelic host moving in and out of this building right now. It's here. They're darting all over. over this building right now. It's here. They didn't come here just because we sang good or preached good. They came to minister to the saints of God at a critical hour. Don't you throw in the towel now. Don't you give up on revival now. Walk into that dimension and watch God do the miraculous. This service is on you. You waiting on me and you waiting on them. And God's waiting on you.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.